Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 429, Learning How to Control My Emotions Better. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, July 20th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Double welcome to the service. Hope all is well with you today and this week. So, today I'm going to try to bring a practical message. You know, sometimes we just, sometimes we do messages to teach people the Word of God and to get the Word of God instilled inside of you. But hopefully today will be practical. It's something that I learned from one of my mentors and friends, Pastor Larry Stockstill. So the subject today is learning how to control my emotions better. Is that practical or not practical? Sister Rivko is referring to some of the cats at work that she's trying to herd. Maybe this will even help Sister Rivka. So, praise the Lord. So, the reality is you never really know when it's going to happen. You know, it just comes up. You feel calm, but out of nowhere comes that crazy driver. Your whole spiritual life goes out the window. Your heart is racing. Your mouth is yelling. Your hands are out the window. No control, and it was on the way home from church. So, I know that you all think I'm always ultra calm. But it has happened to me before. Not exactly that scenario, but some similar ones. For example, when my kids were young, we lived in South Bend, and Pastor Karen was here in Fort Wayne taking care of her father, I think, in this specific case, who was in his declining years. And so we were driving from South Bend to Fort Wayne, and I'm somewhere on East State Street, and this teenager in a 56 Chevy whips around me really fast, and then he piles on the brakes. Needless to say, I was a little more than annoyed. So I decided I would teach him a lesson. So he was going really slow, so I inched up to him till our bumpers touched, and then I hit the pedal. And I pushed him for 20 or 30 yards. Scared the fire out of him. The thing was, though, my kids were in the back seat. Probably not a real great witness on how to control your emotions or how to handle road rage. And probably a little dangerous. There was not a lot of traffic, but that's probably not a good excuse either. So things like that do happen. And then there was another time, the kid. So my kids were gathering around with a group of other young people waiting for an event to start, or I think they were maybe going somewhere and they were waiting for the shuttle, the bus to pick them up. And I happened to be there just waiting with them, and there was this kid that lit my fuse. So I just grabbed him by the front of the shirt and lifted him a couple of feet off the ground for a few minutes in front of all of his friends, and really embarrassed him. So my daughter's take on it is this. Yes, it was the kid named Scott who was actually bullying a smaller boy that time, but he was the same kid who was harassing some of the seventh grade girls, and I joined my friends in the principal's office as a witness when his mom came in. She was the biggest bully of all. But you did earn the respect of every dude that was there, and Scott was never a problem again. Maybe he never came back, but yeah, he and his mama were trouble. I remember Kelly was so brave to take the issue to the principal, and the mom just badmouthed all of us girls and called us liars. She was truly scary and much bigger than the principal, so that didn't help anything either. So there's lots of ways you can justify your emotions, and maybe some action is justified. But the Word of God tells us that we're supposed to have control of our emotions. And so I'm hopeful that today some practical things will help us how we can significantly change how we control our emotions. So the first thing is just start working on your walls. Walls in the scripture refer to barriers to your enemies. For example, you know the story of Nehemiah, how he was sent from the land where he was exiled, and he was working on building the walls of Jerusalem. And one of the first things that he did was he surveyed all of the walls that were broken down and found out all the areas where there were breaches, and then he assigned people to repair those breaches in the wall. That was the beginning of that huge work, so that the wall of Jerusalem was defended. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city that is broken into and left without walls. So we need to protect our walls. We need to build our walls, repair our walls. Your walls are the barriers in your soul. It's sort of like your spiritual walls. So one of the most fantastic gap fillers is prayer. Sounds simple, but if you want to fill that hole in your spiritual wall, prayer is the first go-to. Maybe it's as simple as, Lord, help me. It can be an instant response to the grenade that's been lobbed over the wall. Sounds simple, but it works. Prayer is powerful. In Jude verse 20 and verse 21, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Most of the time when our emotions get out of control, we're not really looking to have mercy on anybody. We're just letting it all hang out and feeling justified in doing so. But Jude says that we should be keeping ourselves in the love of God, and that we should be looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we say that Jesus lives inside of us, then we have the one who is the probably best example of mercy, and the mercy of God and the tender loving care of God we have living inside of us. That should be enough to affect our reactions and our responses. So a few minutes of prayer before getting out into traffic can also have an amazing effect on your reactions. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Paul, the writer to the Corinthians, understood the importance and the power of praying in the spirit, praying in your prayer language. When you don't know what to pray, or in those emergency times when the grenade just has come over the wall, you can be immediately responding with your prayer language instead of letting your emotions get out of control. So start working on your prayer wall. It's probably a lifetime assignment for most of us, but it works. Build your walls. Pray in the spirit, pray in the understanding, and fill the breaches in your spiritual walls. Number two, second thing with emotions is moods. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's easy to wake up in a foul mood for whatever reason, sometimes for no reason. But what does it do? It makes you touchy, sensitive to everybody in the home, and it builds all morning. Suddenly, when the least thing happens, you blow up. So what do you need to do? Change your mood. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes his city. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. There's another place in the scriptures that it says that we should be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get into anger, because none of that brings the righteousness of God. None of those issues bring the righteousness of God into anything. So what can we do to slow our anger down? First thing is we can sing. Not just pray, but sing. Sing a hymn. Repeat a scripture. Anything. Start verbally thanking God for health, for food, for work, for your car, even if it's broken. Now you are ruling your spirit. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Your mercy may have run out, but God's is everlasting. You can tap into some of his when yours is running short, because he is good. He really is good. He's amazing. And his truth endures to every generation. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That theme runs throughout the Bible, and you can see the people of God using these things implementing these things in their lives to put them in a better position in relationships and relating to people. You can change your mood before it rules over you. That's the key. If you get ahead of it, you can change it, even if it's a bad day. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. How many times have we been caught in that? Number three, keep away from certain situations. So Pastor Larry, when he's teaching this, he talks about it as being a room. It's a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, is how he describes it. It's a room where you know you're surrounded by things that can set you off. So why don't you just change rooms? Proverbs 25, verse 24, in the Passion Version, says it this way. It's better to live all alone in a rundown shack than to share a castle with a crabby spouse. Ouch. The truth of the word always gets us. If the employee cafeteria is a powder keg, bring your lunch and eat outside or in your office. If someone you clash with is coming over, get involved in a good outdoor project that involves a lot of work. Proverbs 26:20. As charcoal is to the burning coals and wood is to the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. We have to guard against being that contentious person, the one who's stirring up the strife. So engineer out of your problem moments. You can do it. God will help you. He's gracious and he's faithful. And when you call on him, when you pray, when you sing, when you worship, and when you change rooms, he'll be there with you. Don't be the only visiting team fan defiantly sitting in the home team bleachers. change rooms. And the final thing is, number four, de-escalate the conflict. Be the first one to lower the temperature, to lower the volume, to lower the tone, and to bring down the intensity. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, sometimes we don't think about that when we're in a situation where there's strife or where there's tension or where there's heaviness or where there's stuff going on. But we have an opportunity to be a blessed person in the middle of stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God." We have not received the spirit of this world. If you think, if you look around at all these things I've been talking about, all these things that touch us off and set our, light our fuse and so forth and so on, it's a reflection of the world that's around us, a world that's corrupted by sin, a world that's contaminated, a world that's upside down, where right is wrong and wrong is right, and people are just like crazy over nonsense stuff. And there's a lot of violence and stuff that seems to be rising everywhere, not just in America, but in other countries as well. And sometimes it's over ideologies, sometimes it's over politics, sometimes it's over tribal territory, sometimes it's over just blood libels and vengeance and revenge and so forth and so on. That's the kind of world that we live in. But the Bible says, you know, that we're not going to be taken out of the world. We're going to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And when we have Jesus on our side, when you have him living inside of us, we can be people who are making a difference, making a distinction about who God is and how he works and operates in the lives of people. So work on your walls. Ask God to help you. Pay attention to your mood. Change rooms. De-escalate the conflict. And probably you could add to the list. That was not an exhaustive list. That was just a few things. But I hope that those practical things can help you, can help us all to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. No matter what the situation is around us, the Bible says that we're supposed to be salt and light. Salt to the world, light to the world. Like a city that's on the hill that can't be hidden, so that everybody can see the goodness of God, because he is good and his mercy does endure forever. So work on it. See what works for you and what is effective. Find a way. Find a way to change the things in your lives that set you up for a life that's full of the love of Jesus, full of the presence of God, and gives you opportunities to minister into the lives of other people. My pastor used to say, "I give myself 30 minutes a day, and the rest of the day I give to others." And I watched him do that over the years that I was, especially when I was on staff for the 8 years. I watched him work tirelessly ministering into the lives of people. Everything he was involved with and engaged in was dedicated towards his family, towards his people, towards the people in the church, and then towards the mission field. So get a vision for your life, a vision that enables you to use the giftings and the callings that God has on your life and to be the blessing to the others that you can, the best blessing to the others that you can possibly be. So controlling your emotions is a huge challenge, but it is doable. You can get a hold of yourself. So now I'm a calm person, you know. Pastor Karen never has any challenges with me, so just ask her if you don't believe it. But the Holy Spirit is your helper, and everyone who knows you will be amazed at your new reactions. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. So Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace for us, your grace which is sufficient for us, for your power that's made perfect in our weakness. And Lord, we just look to you and look to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us in every aspect of our lives so that we can be the people that you created us to be, the church you created us to be, the ministry you created us to be, and fulfill the callings that you have on our lives, Father God, in a fuller and beautiful way that blesses the many around us, Lord. We pray for the broken world that's around us, and we ask you, Lord God, that for those people, Lord, who maybe are the cause of our emotions rising, Lord, many times like that kid Scott, Father, we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know that his mother is out of control. We don't know a lot of things, but Father, if we could just have your grace for people that you have, if we could have that grace in our lives, Father, that grace to serve you, with reverence and godly fear, Lord, we would just be grateful. So thank you for an outpouring of that today, for a download of that grace today, and that you will help us to have victory over our emotions, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.